My guest today, Peter Silverman, is a noted art collector and the author of a fascinating new book, Leonardo's Lost Princess. The story begins in New York in 1998 at Christie's annual Old Masters sale. One of the items is most unusual, a 9-by-13-inch profile of a glorious young woman drawn in chalk, pen, and ink on vellum, glued to an oak panel. Christie's listed the work as an early 19th century German, but Silverman believed the venerable auction house had made an enormous mistake. In his book, written with Catherine Whitney, Silverman recounts his journey to bring the picture into the art world spotlight. When he bought the drawing in 2007 for $19,000, many scoffed at his purchase. But Silverman persevered, consulting with top Leonardo experts who used carbon dating and high-tech cameras that probed beneath the surface of the work, in effect, peeling it away layer by layer. And so, La Bella Principessa, da Vinci's portrait of Bianca, an illegitimate daughter of a Milanese duke, is now appraised at $150 million. Welcome, Peter. Thanks so much for joining us at the Book Report.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
What first attracted you to the piece?
I saw it at Christie's in a catalog. I was still in Paris. I noticed that this catalog, this German 19th century, I was a bit intrigued by that. But as far as I was concerned, it looked like it was 15th century, and it was a beautiful portrait of a beautiful young woman.
Absolutely.
And it looked like it was from the Renaissance to me.
So when did you begin to think that it might have been a da Vinci?
Well, that wasn't right away. That was, you know, it was so unlikely that a Leonardo da Vinci would be floating around. I'm a naturally skeptical person. We're collecting for 30 years, and we know so many stories about people get carried away with big names. But as soon as we saw it, we did believe it was from the 15th century, and I immediately thought it was by an artist in the circle of Botticelli or Ghirlandaio. And we started studying it, and over a year's time, I bought all the books there were on Ghirlandaio, Leonardo da Vinci's workshop, the students who could have, you know, possibly been influenced by him. And I could not find for the life of me by whom it could be. And then, quite fortuitously, I was in the Louvre with my digital camera looking at a painting by Boltraffio, who is Leonardo's best student, trying to figure out, could this possibly be the same hand as did this portrait? And just at that moment, walks by Nicholas Turner, one of the top experts in the world, formerly with the Getty and the British Museum. And he says to me, I say, "Hi, Nicholas, amazing to meet you here. I'm just looking at this painting by one of Leonardo's top pupils, and I happen to have a painting by, which I was trying to attribute, and it just doesn't seem to work out. Maybe you have an idea who it's by." So I show him the photo in my digital camera. He looks at it and says, "Wow, that's extraordinary, Peter. I think I have an idea who it's by." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, is it by this fellow, Boltraffio?" He said, no, I think it's even better." I said, "Who could that possibly be by then?" He said, "Well, I personally think it could very well be by Leonardo da Vinci."
In your book, you talk about authenticating the work and the way you had to do it on three fronts: artistic, historical, and scientific. Can you share a little bit about the process?
Well, the first thing that one has to be excited about is, you know, the quality of a work. The first criteria one should ask oneself is, does this correspond to something is it beautiful? And, well, it did have that hallmark. We found it beautiful. Is it from the period? We did believe it was from the period. So the next step was to get somebody like Martin Kemp, who spent the last 40 years studying Leonardo, to give his opinion. He's a naturally skeptical person. He gets offered Leonardos almost every day, so-called Leonardos. And so we sent him the photo, and he said, "Well, this is a little more serious, to be taken a little more seriously than any of the other things I've seen in the last years. Why don't you submit it to the laboratory in Paris, which is doing revolutionary work, which has a multi-spectral digital camera, unique in the world, Lumia technology, and see what they say, because their camera can analyze the work scientifically, but without taking any of the material off the painting, without touching the painting. So we brought it to Lumia Technology. John Pennico and Pascal Cut of Lumia Technology are sitting there with the work in their hand, and they were sort of pale. They said, "Mr. Silverman, do you realize what you have here?" And I said, "Yes, it's a 19th century German drawing." And they said, "Well, you know, we have a database on this artist. We've already analyzed two of his paintings, and it seems to come up to be the same artist comparing the databases." And I said, "Oh, really? And who do you think it's by?" I said, "Well, we think it's by Leonardo da Vinci." I said, "Oh, really?" I was still playing dumb. I said, "Yes, we compared it to the Mona Lisa and the Lady with the Ermine, which we've digitalized, and we think it's by Da Vinci. Didn't you have a suspicion?" And I said, "Of course I did. I just wanted you guys to figure it out first."
Uh-huh. Well, revelation for me in the book was that Da Vinci was left-handed, and this fact actually helped in authenticating the portrait. Isn't that right?
Well, it's a whole gamut of things put together which points to the fact that it can only be by Leonardo da Vinci. The first thing that someone pointed out, one of the top art historians in the world, Mina Grigori, she said that when she first saw it, she said to us, "Well, let's analyze this carefully. The face of the sitter is very, very Florentine in its conception, and that's somebody who obviously was influenced or worked in the circle of Ghirlandaio or Botticelli. But then again, you've got the hairdo and the costume, which are typical of Milano and the court of Milan in 1490-95. And then you have here these lines which show that it's by a left-handed artist. And by process of deduction, I mean, this is the simplest of arguments, which is so valid. She said to me, "You've got a left-handed artist. He's Florentine of origin. He's working at the court of Milan. I don't know anybody else capable of doing this except Leonardo da Vinci, because he was there during that time." And that's how we got to the attribution of Leonardo da Vinci by another top art historian.
Well, all right. Amazing. Now, the subject is Bianca Sforza. So tell us a little about her history.
She was a young woman who was the illegitimate daughter of the head of the leading ruler of Milan. And he decided to marry her off to his chief general, who San Severino, at 13 years of age, because, you know, these dynasties, to continue dynasties, you marry off your daughters to people who can be of help to you and of service to you. So she was married off to Galeazzo San Severino at the age of 13. And tragically, she died 4 months later of probably a pregnancy gone wrong.
So the drawing may have been a frontispiece for a book. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, just by chance, Martin Kemp received a letter from a wonderful Renaissance art historian from South Florida University called David Wright, who said, "Martin, there happens to be a book in Warsaw called La Sforziada in the National Library of Warsaw, which was printed on vellum and which was printed in honor of Galeazzo San Severino, and the marriage, and there is a miniature in this by a man called Birago, who is a top miniaturist of the period, which depicts various things concerning the marriage of San Severino to Bianca Sforza. Why don't you check out in Warsaw whether this page could have perhaps been extracted from this book?" And that was done last year, and amazingly enough, a facsimile was brought, and everything matched the size, the fact that it was also on vellum, and the fact that the drawing has pinholes in it for binding. And we have found 3.5 pinholes, because some of it was cut when it was cut out of this book. There would have been 5 pinholes, which shows that this drawing was once in this volume dedicated to the marriage of Galeazzo and Bianca Sforza. It's an amazing story.
This is some really top-notch investigation. So actually, what is the current value of the Bella Principessa?
Well, this was established by a former director of Christie's, Simon Dickinson. He estimated that it had a value of about $150 million.
Well, readers, I want to let you know that this book reads like an adventure mystery. It's accurate art history, absolutely, but it's so readable. You are just going to be amazed by this story. Peter, I loved reading your book. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate your having me on your program, and I look forward to being on it again Monday when I write another book.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.